Late night podcast records, cancelled flights, penalty curse finally broken, and fighting underdogs. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sophie.
And this is G'day from GOTB. Where are we, first of all? Because we were meant to have an episode out yesterday, and we had a bit of a mare.
Yeah, we've made a rather impromptu stop back in Sydney because our flight to Perth yesterday got cancelled. And flights to Perth from Brisbane are very, very expensive. So we came back to Sydney to the place at the flat that we're renting for the month. And we're going to try again today.
Yeah, we are. I could not get over how expensive flights are to Perth. Oh, my God. Anyway, just FYI, if you hadn't planned to already go to Perth, I probably wouldn't do it during the tournament. Anyway, our first kind of travel hiccup, hopefully our last. And yeah, we did previously, the night before, have a very late podcast record. Then we had to check out of our hotel early. Had a lovely brunch. Can we just say, the Australians, brunch, coffee, unbelievable.
Yeah, I think they win at brunch. They're winners. And yeah, I think we needed a bit of a morning off, to be honest. I'm very, very tired.
Yeah, we had a very nice brunch down by the river. Yeah. And then we headed to the fan park, which was really cool in Brisbane, actually. Sun was out. And there was loads of fans there by the time the Sweden versus South Africa game kicked off. So that is where we should start.
There was a moment I was looking around, like I was just had my eyes on the screen for that game. And then I think it was halfway through the first half, I just happened to glance around me and it was full of people. And I was like, this is amazing. Like for Sweden, South Africa, not maybe the biggest game, not probably a lot of either in Brisbane, but just for everyone to come out and spend their Sunday in the park. And watch the football. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, it was a nice moment. We managed to watch the first half before we then headed for our flight, but we'll get to that. Thoughts? Last minute goal for Sweden, managed to get them all 3 points.
Yeah, I think it's a theme of this tournament, isn't it, that the underdog teams are kind of have developed very, very quickly in the last 4 years and are running the top guys pretty close. And yeah, a heartbreak for South Africa though. They played so well, but yeah, Sweden just finding the edge in the end.
Yeah, the South Africa opened the scoring actually in the 48th minute. Magaya scored that one. I think she injured herself as well, unfortunately, in the scoring of the goal. She ended up in a heap in the goal, and ended up having to be subbed off. Freeland Arolfo then cancelled that out in the 65th minute. South Africa were good on the counter attack. Obviously when they scored first, Sweden were pushing for an equaliser, and it kind of left them a little bit exposed at times. But look, the pushing forward paid off, as I said, for Rolfo. And it looked to be finishing as a draw, but Amanda Ilestad, Arsenal's new signing, popped up at the death, literally at the death, 90 plus minutes, to claim the 3 points.
Yeah, it's something I want to look into a bit more, because I do think maybe the higher nations aren't used to this counter-attacking style of football. And we saw it with England and Haiti, Sweden and South Africa. You also saw it while Spain won the game against Costa Rica. Costa Rica got in and behind them multiple times, and if they had a better striker on the end of it, they could have made it count. Zambia, we know, are a very counter-attacking team. I know they lost heavily to Japan, but it's quite interesting that that's something that these teams are struggling to deal with across the board.
I think perhaps they're underestimating their opponents. But, you know, to be fair, credit to South Africa. They are 2022 Africa Cup of Nations champions. Do you think that, well, it was? Do you think a little bit underestimated?
Underestimated. I also think they don't play these kind of teams very often. And I think the way that international football is going now, especially now we've got rid of, like, the qualifying and going into Nations Leagues, and you're only ever going to have, really, the top nations playing the top nations, it might actually... and they will kind of play attacking football, and they kind of play quite similar ways. Maybe Australia a little different, they're a counter-attacking team. But yeah, it's quite interesting that that's what the struggle is against these nations. And yes, I think it is underestimating how fast and, you know, probably technical they've become in the last 4 years. I think we've seen a massive jump in the game, and I think this tournament is showing that, that where we have been and where we are now that players across the world are developing massively. Some of them are getting out and playing in professional leagues, and it only goes to show the growth of the sport.
Yeah, so a bit of a stutter start from Sweden, but I think we're seeing that from quite a few teams actually in this first round. Do you think we're maybe reading too much into these first matches? Do you think maybe teams are a little bit nervous as well?
I think, so I tweeted yesterday about how I had thought the expansion was way too early when they announced it after the 2019 World Cup, and that it was probably driven by the scarring of the Thailand defeat 13-0 to the USA. And it just didn't seem like jumping so quickly was going to be a brilliant idea for the quality of the tournament. Now, in the first games, we've been maybe proved wrong in that, and I'm happy to be proved wrong. But yeah, I think, especially going into tournament football, and maybe that some of these teams aren't quite used to playing back-to-back games. I think the one thing about a bigger tournament, though, is that you have more time between games because you have 6 days or something, I think, between your two games, so you do have time to recover. So it swings and roundabouts, and we'll kind of see what happens in the next round.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know this round isn't over yet, but it has been very exciting. Another close encounter. This one we watched on the iPad from the airport. We had arrived by then. Netherlands versus Portugal. I was really looking forward to this one after their chaotic meeting in the Euros, which ended, 3-2? But it wasn't as exciting, unfortunately. I feel like in the Euros, because Portugal had been given so little prep time, they had about a month to prep for the tournament after being brought in to replace Russia. And it felt like they were a bit like, forget about defending, we'll just try and score more goals than our opponents, and that's how we win the games. And I think they're a bit more, they've come in a bit more, like much more prepared, and defending is obviously more important to them, more focused area for them. But it did mean they did struggle up top.
They did. I mean, I love watching Jessica Silva play. I think she's an absolute brilliant player, but I think sometimes she needs a bit more support because she can't kind of do it all on her own. I think it was a bit of a dull game, to be honest. We kind of predicted 3-2 again. I think that was a little
totally
ambitious.
But
yeah, a bit of a dull game. Netherlands got the win, but there was not much going on.
Yeah, it was a goal by Van de Gracht in fairly early on in the first half. Originally ruled out by VAR, but it was then overturned. I think there was questions as to whether, well, Ruud was offside, but whether she was interfering with play, and they deemed that she wasn't. But yeah, as I said, it did seem Portugal struggled really to create many chances. I think they had one on target, and that came in the 82nd minute. Jessica Silva cut such a frustrated figure. She put in a tackle, I can't remember who it was, but it was in the latter stages of the second half, where she just grabbed her around the waist and threw her on the floor, and I think she got booked for it, and she kind of held her hands up and was a bit like, yeah, sorry about that. You could just tell she was getting really frustrated that they weren't getting enough chances really up top. But another game that, like, we probably thought, well, we thought there'd be more goals, we did think the Netherlands would win, but another team that maybe hasn't really staked their claim yet.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of reasons why the top teams are probably not at their best. It's a theme throughout. You know, it's the preparation. It's the fact that a lot of the European teams have gone on a cycle for 1 year, and it's from the Euros. There's been the preparation has been all sort of hampered or squashed or up in the air. They've come off the back of long seasons. They've not played games in 2 months, some of them, or 1 month. So I think it always takes time for players to find their legs and bring themselves back up to quality. I think the one thing for all of them, maybe bar France, because I think that draw is a problem. We'll
spoilers,
talk about it
you spoil
later.
Every episode.
I don't spoil every episode, but I think bar France, the one thing is that they're all finding a way to get through, get those first 3 points on the board. Doesn't really matter how you do it. And yes, everyone will stress about it back home in the media or whatever. That's their job, but they've got the job done on the day, and it means you've got a platform to build on, because you know that if you get a result in your next game, you're pretty much through. So, I don't think anyone's too worried yet.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good point. But I do think you're seeing teams, you know, teams we'd classify as underdogs, and teams who are also battling with their federations, like in Jamaica, you know, who have missed out on important preparation time. They put out that letter before the tournament, so have got other things going on, who could maybe use the same excuse as these bigger nations, as that they haven't, you know, played many matches before, and they're able to take that, and actually it galvanizes them.
I'm not saying no credit to them,
I know you're not.
I'm entirely giving the credit to them, but I'm also saying there are reasons why the top teams aren't performing to their best. And I think you just need to take into account all of those reasons.
So we don't need to read too much into things yet. So yes, moving on to France, Jamaica. We missed a good bit of this one because we were on a plane finally. But we did, as soon as we landed and we were allowed to turn on our devices, we had the iPad on. We got about the last 15 minutes or so of that game, which was really exciting. France had a few chances in the kind of 10-15 we were watching, and we caught the red card as well to Bunny Shaw. But it was an historic result for Jamaica. It ended 0-0, first point in a World Cup, and who better to get it against than France?
Yeah, it was a really important one for Jamaica. They've been through not the best time recently, especially with the Federation, but also I think in terms of results. They haven't played many games either. I think one of the international windows, maybe it's April, where all they did was play against Sheffield United. No disrespect to Sheffield United, but they're a championship team. They're not fully professional, and it's probably not the kind of test that you were looking for going into a World Cup. So, yeah, I think it was a huge foundation for them to build on. And, I mean, to get that against France as well. France are one of the favourites for the tournament. And they just looked a bit like...
Flat.
They ran out of ideas. Ken Zardali, when she came on, was a difference maker, I think. But it was still just like crossing balls into the... It was just not very imaginative, I don't think, in front of goal.
There was that header that hit the corner frame of the goal right near the end. And I feel like it was one of those nights where when that happened, they were kind of like, it's just not going to happen. We're not going to get a goal. You know, I think the fact they managed to come out of this with a draw is really important, given they won't have Bunny Shaw for the next game. They will be playing Panama. So they, of all the games for her to miss in that group, no disrespect to Panama, and we've been talking about not underestimating the underdogs, but I think of all of the teams, you know, if you had to pick one, it would probably be that one. As we said, like, France had chances, couldn't put them away. I was a little bit disappointed. I've been maybe naively bigging up France ahead of this World Cup because I thought the thing that was lacking for them was the mentality, was the headspace, was dealing with all that stuff with former manager, and that with a new manager, maybe the weight would be lifted off. But, you know, I thought, like, as well, the Australia game, we weren't that impressed. I thought maybe they just want to find their feet. You know, they're going to get into this tournament. They're going to kick off. But they just failed to capitalise on those chances. Hervé Renard, apparently, though, isn't too worried. He says he has won competitions after drawing the first game. So for French fans, that will maybe calm you down a bit. You don't need to worry. But it will make that Brazil versus France and that Jamaica versus Brazil game so exciting.
I'm not sure drawing against Jamaica, though, can be that positive.
Listen, Hervé's fine.
No, but, like, you have such a big game in that Brazil game. And between those two, who comes top is absolutely key, I think, in terms of the draw. That, yeah, it's going to be a problem if they don't come top, maybe, and don't find their feet quickly. So I would maybe be a little bit more worried than he is, because I don't think it's a great stall to set up.
No, and if those three teams beat Panama, if, it's a big if, because we've seen some things happen so far, then those games against each other, like, I think we're going to the France-Brazil game, aren't we? Oh, it's going to be so good. And as I said, Jamaica-Brazil, it's going to be, there's going to be such exciting football on display in that group alone. So they were the matches that took place yesterday. I think so far the biggest lesson of this World Cup is do not underestimate the underdog, because that is the story of the tournament so far, and I'm loving it.
Me too.
Anyway, today we've got slightly later kickoffs for us. It's probably still morning back home by the time these kick off. Probably is early morning. But for us, kind of later in the day, we've got Italy versus Argentina, Germany versus Morocco, Brazil versus Panama. All teams I'm really excited to see. You know, I was so excited to see all the first round games to get an idea of maybe how this tournament might go, like who might get out of the groups. And so far, I'm none the wiser. Other than maybe Japan, Spain and USA scoring 5-3 and 3 goals respectively, I don't really think anyone has run away with it and really stood out and really said, y'all better watch out because we're coming here to take over. I think I'm none the wiser as to who's going to win this World Cup, to be honest.
I don't know who's going to win the World Cup either.
Have the last few matches helped at all?
Nope.
Okay. today. And that is coming from our expert brains. I hope you enjoyed that episode, and we will be bringing you another one very, very soon, hopefully with no more travel delays.